Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
And everyone outside of the state of Texas and those Cowboy apologists, you know who you are. I guess we won't hear from Cowboy Dan. No Cowboy Dan calling in tonight to talk about how good Dak Prescott looked. We won't hear from him or Zeke Kelly. But we are all going to take part in some schadenfreude. We will take joy out of the misery of the Dallas Cowboys. And that deep dish pizza in Chicago tasting a little bit better in the overnight here. Mitch Trubisky, 3 touchdown passes. He ran for a touchdown. The Chicago Bears, the monsters of the Midway. They're not that good, but they look that good. And the score is not even indicative of how lopsided the game was. More on that later. 31-24. You saw the game. Dak Prescott and the reeling Dallas Cowboys. You know how when you flush the toilet and the water circles around? That's actually the Cowboys. That's what the Cowboys are doing. They're circling the drain. And the Bears, they now won 4 of their last 5. They're barely alive. They've got a heartbeat, which is very weak. They lost to the Rams. The Bears lost to the Rams. The Rams aren't any good. And the Bears, that's unbelievable. And the Raiders, I mean, please. All right, anyway. So the Cowboys are 6-7. They've lost 7 of 10. They got off to that 3-0 start. They've lost 7 of 10. And we know the better story is in the losing locker room. So sorry, Chicago, but this is all about Dallas here. Let's discuss the Thursday night NFL brouhaha. And what do you make of a very laissez-faire performance by the Dallas Cowboys? It was a cowardly performance by Dallas. I've got tranquilizer, sanitation services, and gassers. I've got those three things, and we will tie all of this into a nice holiday package. Now, I know when I was in school, I had a professor, not that I paid attention that often, who said, you should never judge a book by its cover, right? And you should also never declare a game is over after the opening drive. Dallas came out, if you just saw the first drive, Dallas came out and went bonkers, whatever. They came out of the locker room, had a 17-play, 75-yard drive. They ate pretty much half of the opening stanza. Dak Prescott was cool. He was calm. He was collected. He was wonderful. And in complete control. The Cowboys' offense was rampaging down the field. And then they proceeded to bend over the rest of the game until the fourth quarter. They bent over at the midfield logo at Soldier Field and puked all over the field the rest of the game. Yeah, they're like, hey, we're good. We had a good drive. All right, see you guys back in Texas. We're out of here. They failed to bring the fighting spirit, which you have to have in athletic competition. The alarm clock didn't go off. I hope they had a good time in Chicago. I hope they went out and had a good time because they didn't show up to the stadium after that opening drive. They were going through the motions. I mean, all the things we say about crappy teams, the Cowboys are a crappy team. They're crummy. The Cowboys are crummy. I mean, they don't need me to tell you that. They're a losing team. And as former Cowboy coach Bill Parcells taught me, you are what your record says you are. And their record says they stinkola. That's what they are. And forget a playbook. Like, you know, people talk about, you know, Jason Garrett, you know, defensively, could they do some different things? Offensively, what could the Cowboys do? Even though they're leading the NFL in offense, which is a fugazi stat, considering if you watch these games lately, they certainly don't appear to be all that dynamic offensively. But forget the playbook. Jason Garrett needs to find some smelling salts here because that Cowboy team looked like, instead of having a pregame drink of Gatorade, they all took tranquilizers before the game, before they went out to play. And you know what it reminded me of? Years ago, before I became a bloviating gas bag locked to a radio station, I used to go out to a lot of games and be around teams. In the NBA, back in the day, when a team revolted and tried to get their coach fired, they would have a performance very similar to the Dallas Cowboys. It reminded me of that. Like, hey, there's a lack of focus here. We're going to try to make a change and preparation, the whole thing. So Dallas under 500. The Cowboys are a, you know what they are? They're like a wobbly Jenga tower You know that thing? And a tower of blocks, and they're coming down slowly, tumbling down. The blocks on the Jenga tower are coming down. Now, we have a good chance of getting a sub-500 team as the winner of the NFC East, which seems impossible when you know the Giants and the Redskins are in that division. But it is a race of futility for these teams. And Jerry Jones, I think his head is going to explode. I believe his head is going to explode with all this. Now, part B, Dak Prescott. Right, we're doing Schadenfreude Radio. So Dak Prescott continues to be the enigma. We talked about it the last couple weeks after the New England game, after the Buffalo game. He had cartoon stats most of the season. The stats have gone down a little bit, but they're inflated as it is. But if you look back this year and the different quarters of the season in the NFL, from week 7 to week 11, Dak Prescott in that block of games, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, averaged 8.6 yards per attempt. But it always felt phony to me. And just like when I would go to a Vegas magic show, I would see the magic show in Vegas, and I'd see the smoke and the mirrors and all that. And then I'd say, oh, look at that. Amazing how the person that came up out of the audience knew exactly, helped out with the card. Then I realized later on they were all plants in the audience. They were part of the show, and they were there every night, and they were pulled up on stage and all that. But Prescott, like he was using witchcraft potions or something like that at the beginning, and now all of a sudden he's getting canned vomit. And he's not chicken soup, not chunky soup, which he sells. He's getting canned vomit. That's what he's doing. And the numbers do not paint the full picture. So I would advise you not to be hornswoggled by the box score. And this is a great test. I'm going to tell you why, because we were talking before the show. I was talking to some of the guys here, Jonas and some of the other guys in the back there. Gagon was walking around. And we were pointing out that this is a great thing, because a lot of talking heads on television, I'm going to let you know a little secret here, how the sports media business works. A lot of these guys don't actually watch the games, and they just look at the box score, and they say, oh, Dak Prescott, let's see what he had. Oh, he went over 300 yards passing. Oh, that's pretty good. 334 yards, it's not his fault. It's not his fault at all. He did his job. Pay the man. And you can tell who these idiots are. I love it. Dak Prescott padded his stats of biblical proportions. It was like Russell Westbrook trying to jerry-rig the NBA box scores to get triple-doubles. Those videos are all over YouTube if you want to watch Russell Westbrook do his thing. But if he doesn't get paid, Dak Prescott, by the Cowboys, he has a job waiting for him in the sanitation services department somewhere in the Arlington, Texas area, because he is the king of garbage. Dak Prescott, with the game seemingly in the balance over the first three quarters of the game, first 45 minutes of the athletic competition, Dak Prescott had 10 completions out of 22 passes, less than 50%. He averaged less than just exactly 5 yards an attempt, had no touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of 60. And then in the fourth quarter, when the Bears had built up a 17-point lead and were just trying to get the game over with, ta-da! Presto! Dak Prescott threw for 224 yards in the fourth quarter. He averaged over 8 yards an attempt. He had 17 completions in the fourth quarter and a touchdown pass. His passer rating in the final 15 minutes with the game already decided was 101.5. That was his passer rating. So listen, the Cowboys are past the whole soul-searching and introspective period. They're past that. As the season has continued, the bad habits of Dak Prescott have slowly started to return. In fact, the last 3 weeks against the Patriots, Bills, and Bears, me oh my, Dak Prescott has averaged less than 7 yards per attempt. He has 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and his numbers are even lower than that because, again, he's done a lot in garbage time. His passer rating the last 3 weeks is 81.6. But 2 of the 3 touchdowns have come in the fourth quarter with the game already decided. The Buffalo game on Thanksgiving and this game on Thursday night at Soldier Field, Chicago. And 336 of the 901 yards came in garbage time in the fourth quarter. I mean, think about this. The last 3 games, Dak Prescott has less than 600 yards passing in non-garbage time situations. That's mind-bending. He's been thunderstruck all of a sudden. Now, the last thing here. So the Cowboys defense. I cannot do a full Cowboy beatdown. By the way, it is like a kid's birthday party And it's we've got a pinata, and everyone gets a swing. It's got Dak Prescott. It's got Jerry Jones. Pinatas over there. Everyone, you there in the front, you in the middle, you in the back, you get a swing. Back there, you get a swing at the Cowboys. Everyone gets a swing with the baseball bat at the Cowboys. You got to be blindfolded, though. But that's kind of like the Cowboys play, blindfolded. That's how they look. So the Cowboys defense, a complete breakdown, spineless, gutless football, blocking and tackling, right? The basics of football. The Cowboys failed. They failed. I don't know what they did during practice, but I don't think they actually paid much attention. And if this was years ago, before Pussy Willows took over football, you know what the Cowboy players would be doing right now? They'd be running gassers. You know, I remember when I, back in my day, back in, we played a terrible game. The next time you had a practice, they just made you run. They just made you run, and that's it. And the Cowboys, they'll likely get a participation ribbon and get some more endorsements. The Bears, keep in mind, they had the 29th ranked offense. They put up 31 points. All it took was the Dallas Matador defense to show up. It was like a bullfight. And ole, 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 ole. That was how that game went. Bunch of lightweights made the much maligned Mitch Trubisky look like Steve Young or Joe Montana or vintage Tom Brady, however you want to go. More like, I guess, Lamar Jackson or any of the dual threat quarterbacks, because he also had 63 yards on the ground, Mitch Trubisky. But as the old line goes, the Cowboys defense should get a percentage of the contract for the fifth-year option rookie contract for Mr. Trubisky, because it reminds me, and this is another line, famous line from years ago, and it was back when Charles Barkley was playing in the NBA. It was a long time ago, and they were playing the Clippers, and the Clippers had a terrible team, and they had a guy no one had ever heard of, a small forward named Tyrone Nesby.
Who?
And I'll never forget this. This is one of my lifetime memories, because I was standing in the tunnel at the toilet bowl that was the LA Memorial Sports Arena. So I'm standing in the tunnel, and Barkley was playing for the Rockets, and that was a team that had, like, at the time, Scottie Pippen. And so they come off the court, and they go back to these terrible locker rooms at the sports arena, and Barkley is just cursing profanity at Scottie Pippen. Way to go, Pip! You just got Tyrone Nesby a new contract, you MF-er! And just going on. It's hilarious. And sure enough, Nesby did get a new contract. Barkley was not wrong. He was not wrong. All right, let's hear from some of the participants here. Let's go for Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett, let's see, Jason, you've been pretty good at saying things after Cowboy losses. Let's see what he says this time.
Getting off to a good start was good for us, but they did a good job just coming right back and moving the ball, and they moved the ball consistently well throughout the game. So, you know, again, there are probably levels of confidence. We need to play better. We need to play more confidently, and unfortunately, we didn't get that done tonight.
Yeah. Well, that was generic. I didn't say anything specifically about the game, really, other than they got off to a good start, which is true for like half of the first quarter. Here's more from Jason Garrett, and oh, this is my favorite excuse when teams who are perceived to be good don't live up to expectations, when they're underachievers, and then you hear this.
One of the issues we have on our team is guys are trying to do too much. I think sometimes that creates problems, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, and we have to just get back into being more disciplined down in and down out. That's the way you handle adversity. You execute. And, you know, guys are able to make some plays, but, you know, on a consistent enough basis, we just didn't do a good enough job of that tonight. We didn't defend the run well enough. We didn't defend the pass well enough. They moved the ball throughout the game.
Yeah. I that's usually a line in baseball. You hear that a lot in baseball when a hitter is not hitting. They say, well, he's just trying to do too much at the plate. Like, you know, make contact. I'll tell you what, if the Cowboys were trying to do too much, I know they were not trying to block or tackle, because they didn't do much of that, certainly on the defensive side.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So we're going to talk about a star receiver in the NFL that apparently, could be on the move. Could be on the move. We'll get to that coming up in a bit. But the big story, last night, Soldier Field, Chicago. Jason Garrett and the woebegone pitiful, sorry-ass Dallas Cowboys. Came out like gangbusters, played great in the first quarter, had this amazing drive, and went down 75 yards, 17 plays, ate half the first quarter up. You thought, man, they're back. The Cowboys are back. That looked like the 90s Cowboys with Aikman and Emmitt and Michael Irvin. And then the rest of the game, well, until the start of the fourth quarter, when the game was already over, the Cowboys did pretty much nothing. They did pretty much nothing the rest of the way, and it's clear to anyone that has working eyeballs or working eardrums, so even our friend like Blind Scott can see what's going on here, that the Cowboys quit. They didn't play well, but they didn't play hard. They didn't play hard for whatever reason, and Jason Garrett, though, the clapper who's in the crapper, Jason Garrett, the coach, the embattled coach of the Cowboys. The first rule of coaching Fight Club is you can never admit your team quit. And I'll tell you why. Because if you admit your team quit, you then get whacked. Because that's you can play bad, you can lose, but you can't not give effort, right? And so coaches always have to say, no, we played hard. Didn't look like they played hard. The tackling was sloppy, and they were tackling guys and bare running backs and pass catchers were like running several yards with Cowboy players on their back, which is pretty crazy. But Garrett's like, we just didn't play well, but we didn't quit. We did not quit at all. And it's open season. Everyone gets a swing at the Dallas Cowboys, but Jerry Jones says he's not. He reiterated he is not going to fire Jason Garrett. So if you were hoping for that, it didn't happen. But sometimes people lie. And so it's possible, maybe on that flight back to from Chicago to the Dallas area, that Jerry will have a change of heart. But he said no. More on that as the Cowboys, they only won by, or the Bears rather, won by a touchdown, but they were up by 17 points most of the game. Moving on. Speaking of moving on, is Odell Beckham on the move here? High expectations have not exactly worked out. The Chicago Bears were the top pick in the NFC. The Cleveland Browns were the popular pick by popular people. The bandwagoner in Cleveland, and things have not gone so well. Which leads us to the curious case of Odell Beckham. Now, Odell held court. I don't know if you had a chance to hear any of this. If not, we have some audio here in a second. But OBJ does not sound thrilled with the prospect of being back with the Cleveland Browns in 2020. And he gave a vague response when asked about his future. So let's go to the audio tape. Here is Odell Beckham, who dabbled in sports cliche mode here about his plans in the future for the Browns.
What's the future hold? I don't know that. I don't know the answers for that. You know, right now I'm just taking it a day at a time, trying to finish the season healthy, trying to win these last four games and see what happens.
It's one game at a time. So he went through sportscliche.com. Here's more from Odell Beckham commenting on his future in Cleveland. And he rambled, stumbled, and bumbled. And then he talked about a higher power that somehow that's involved in all this.
No one knows what the future holds like tomorrow. Like, I couldn't tell you what's going to happen. I couldn't sit here and tell you whether I'm going to be here, want to be here, don't want to be here. This is exactly where I'm at now, and I wouldn't rather be anywhere else. It's something that, like I said, God has a plan. In the offseason, everything will figure itself out.
Yeah. So God is worried about the Cleveland Browns transactions in the offseason. The big person is hoping that the Browns make some good moves here. The key part of that is I can't tell you that I want to be here. That's the part that raised eyebrows and all that. He also praised his buddy Jarvis Landry and certainly implied that that's like the only reason he likes playing for the Browns is that his locker is right next to Jarvis Landry. But it was very tepid in his comments about the Browns. So let's discuss, will Odell Beckham be playing in a Browns uniform week one of the 2020 NFL season? Now, I'm going to put my money on no. This has all the ingredients and all the evidence at this moment is pointing to Odell Beckham not being in Cleveland. Now, my observation, you've got the beachfront bungalow, Molotov cocktail, and showgirls. And we will combine all of this together. Now, number one, Odell Beckham.
Number one.
I think this is an understatement. Not the happiest guy, right? I mean, he's never had the greatest body language in the world, but making out with the kicking net and all that stuff back when he was with the Giants. But it's gotten really bad of late. Now, I don't watch every second of every Browns game. I don't. But unmet expectations are wearing on Beckham. He's supposed to be the big star. He was the biggest star in football when he played for the Giants. Not anymore. He's not a ham and egger, but he's not much better than a ham and egger. And this season's been a buzzkill. Odell Beckham assumed the position that by going from the Giants to a team that was perceived to be on the rise in Cleveland, that he would be the missing piece, and he would help the Browns to the playoffs at the very worst, if not the Super Bowl. Instead, he has put up rather cookie-cutter numbers, nothing unremarkable from Odell Beckham, certainly not a Hall of Fame season. It's been unmemorable for Beckham. And OBJ, he played, keep in mind, he played on some dumpster fire teams with the Giants. Like, they've been bad, real bad. Big Blue has been bad for a long time. But he was always in the limelight. It's part of being in New York, even, you know, not so much with the Jets, but on the Giants. And not only are the Browns mediocre, but they also are not getting the worship that he needs from the media. Like, Beckham thrives on that. He needs that in his bloodstream here. Beckham is a classical prima donna receiver. Now, he's not reached the mountaintop like Antonio Brown, but nobody at this moment is bowing down to kiss the ring or kiss the boot of Odell Beckham. So it makes sense, right, looking at this logically, that he's disgusted enough that he would start to examine an exit strategy. Like, how can I get out of this? And if this was like a vacation conversation, Odell Beckham thought falsely that he was going to stay at a tropical beachfront bungalow. Exotic vacation, great service, the whole thing. And he'd win. And it would be good for his brand and all that. Instead, his vacation is taking place at a dilapidated halfway house with cockroaches from our friend Helmet Man all over the floor and bed bugs. That's essentially what's been going on, right? That's essentially what's been going on. Now, the second thing here, even though obviously it's gone sideways in Northern Ohio, Beckham is going to have an opportunity, if he wants, to force his way out. Like, he's got enough juice, Beckham. If he don't want to be there, he can get out of there. He can skedaddle out of town. And the Browns, it's possible they don't want him. Like, it's possible that it's a mutual decision. The Browns are going to do inventory on everything this offseason. And John Dorsey is a bit of a wackadoodle himself. John Dorsey may decide to just throw a Molotov cocktail into the locker room and kaboom, and just blow the thing up. It's a combustible mix as it is. Sanitize the lockers, remove the asbestos, and leave Cleveland away from Beckham. Go to Splitsville, have a divorce, and it's a win-win situation. Beckham, he's got value. Like, it would allow the Browns to get something in return for him and let Beckham find a bigger stage. The obvious connection here, if you're looking to connect the dots, is the Patriots, right? Assuming Tom Brady does come back in 2020, Bill Belichick has no choice. He has to get some legitimate professional pass catchers other than Julian Edelman. He's got to. And keep in mind that Belichick was so smitten with Odell Beckham in the past that the Patriots allegedly tried to trade for Beckham in the offseason. Remember, the story was the Giants were so paranoid about Beckham going to the Patriots and playing like Randy Moss did when he went to the Patriots years ago that they would not trade him because they have some kind of Belichick derangement syndrome and they didn't want Beckham to haunt them with the Patriots. So the Giants would not trade him to the Patriots. Now, I'm guessing the Browns don't suffer from that same neurosis, that they don't. And if the Patriots offer, you know, first-round pick, end of the first round, I think they traded their second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, how do you do? After living the OBJ life, the Browns could certainly be singing a different tune here. Right? They could sing a different tune. And New England would give Beckham a chance to have a career renaissance, to boomerang back. He'd be right back in the spotlight and the limelight and all that. And if you dabble with Antonio Brown, you can certainly dabble with this guy, right? I mean, you do the Mamba with Odell Beckham. That's how you do it. All right, final point. So if not the Patriots, we will see a medley, an absolute medley of teams that will kick the tires on Beckham if this plays out in real time. Obviously, this is an off-season story, but it's never too soon to get a jump on the off-season. Beauty is only skin deep, but it energizes the fan base. Like, Beckham is good for the business of football. Sell a few more tickets, sell a few more jerseys, blah, 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 blah. Get a little buzz going. And I would think, if not the Patriots, Seattle would look that direction. Pete Carroll ain't afraid of no diva at the wide receiver position or any other position. And it just looks like Cleveland is too dull for Beckham. Now, I don't know that Seattle would provide the spotlight for Beckham. But if he wants debauchery, if that's what he's looking for, then why don't we give him showgirls and palm trees? Two other options. How about John Gruden making Odell Beckham the centerpiece of the new Las Vegas Raiders?
The greatness of the Raiders.
You got to have a headliner on the Strip in Vegas, and the Raiders are going to be playing on the Strip in Vegas. You got to have a headliner. They don't really have a headliner right now. Derek Carr doesn't pass the muster. So you got to get a headliner. Beckham would be a headliner on top of the casino there. You can say, come see Odell Beckham performing with the Beckhamettes on the stage. Right? Headliner in Vegas. If not, the Raiders. How about the Rams? The Rams have to be active. You say, well, they don't have any draft picks. The Browns won't trade Beckham to the Rams. Rams had some interest in Odell Beckham when he was with the Giants. They kicked the tires on Beckham when he was with the Giants. They don't have the draft picks. How about this? Flip Brandon Cooks and some other players, have an old-fashioned NFL trade where you trade. Now, Cooks has had some concussion problems, but assuming he's all right, you trade him and some other players to Cleveland, and Beckham gets to go to La La Land, and he can live in Malibu and knock himself out there with all those C and D list celebrities in Calabasas and all that. Have a wonderful time.
Have the lambs stopped screaming?
They have not. They're very big game Sunday night. I know Al Michaels is excited. Even if the game's terrible, Al Michaels is excited because he can drive.
You can really caca it up.
Well, no, he lives in Brentwood, so he just has to. He has to jump on the freeway there and cross over. Gets on the 405, then goes down to the 10, goes across the west side of Los Angeles, and then he has to get off in a kind of a shady part of L.A. to go to the Coliseum. But I'm sure Al's got, like, bulletproof windows and things like that, so I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be all right. Let's go to the phones, and a former caller of the year on the Ben Maller Show is Blind Scott. Hello, Blind Scott.
Hey, it's my birthday today. I was born on Pearl Harbor Day, too, but I'm 37, and
well, happy, know, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Better to do it on your birthday than call overnight radio like a bunch of times, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really a dream. You know, when you were a little kid growing up, Blind Scott, you probably thought, well, someday I'll be 37, closing in on 40, and I hope my life has me calling a pathetic overnight radio show. And here you are. Wait, you're living your dream.
What did you say about Pearl Harbor?
Actually, the show's the only thing. I was born on Pearl Harbor Day. So, like,
wasn't that the 7th?
Oh, the day before, actually.
He was close. He was close, and that's really much like Mallor math, right, Blind Scott? As long as you're close, you're okay.
Yeah, Britney Spears was born the day after me, so she was actually born on Pearl Harbor Day. I'm just trying to throw down some facts here for my birthday. You know what I mean? It's pretty famous.
So what does a legendary caller like Blind Scott do to celebrate his birthday? Do the people there on the north end of Boston regale you with gifts and baked goods? Like, how does this go down for a legend like Blind Scott?
Most of the people in the neighborhood are afraid of me. On Thanksgiving, I stacked all the trash up to like 20 feet high because they didn't pick it up at the end of the street. So I don't think that will be happening. But you can go to marijuana dispensaries and they give you free weed on your birthday. So that's what I'm doing today. I'm going to like three different ones. You know what I mean?
Does Denny's still give out the free Grand Slam breakfast or whatever? They used to give a free meal out on your birthday. You got to find all the restaurants to give out freebies, and you just got to hit those blind spots.
I do the freebies. Like when I go into CVS, sometimes if the line's too long, I just walk right out the front door. I make it like it's too confusing, and I call those freebies too. Or like I load up the shopping bags at the grocery store, and if nobody comes to help me for too long, I'm just like out the front door. Those are Blind Scott freebies. So like every day is kind of like my birthday.
So you're just saying you shoplift. If you don't know, you just take the stuff and just walk out. And since you're blind, they feel pity on you, and you just you get away with it. Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah. Yeah, especially like with minorities, they're afraid of dogs, so they don't want to come near me. And they work at a lot of these service jobs, so they open up the gates for me for it. You know what I mean?
So they just allow you to get whatever you want. And wow, I should have you go shopping for me at CVS next time I need some drugs.
For some reason, people think my dog's an attack dog. It's a service animal. It's not an attack dog. You know, it's pretty.
Well, Kramer though did attack that waitress. I remember a couple years ago. Remember we were at that pizza place and he attacked the waitress. Yeah.
Yeah, the famous meetup that we had when I didn't eat, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We bought all this food and you didn't eat a damn thing.
Pig. The biggest regret I ever had, I was going to say the most consistent thing in my life is a show, but I had a chance to meet Jerry Callahan right before they got rid of him. I wish I went in there and ripped that
Who?
Guy. That's the big Jerry Callahan.
Wait, you don't like him though, right? You don't agree with him?
No, never heard of him. I almost got to go face to face with him.
Oh, you were going to debate him? You were going to debate him? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, you had me almost face to face with him.
Well, I love Jerry. I hope Jerry's all right. I know you hate him, but I like Jerry. I think he's pretty good. I hope he lands on his feet. I think he's getting paid a ton of money in severance, so I think he's all right.
Yeah, you get a podcast or something, you know?
Everyone's got a podcast. Even I got a podcast. Everyone's got a podcast. I got to go. Happy birthday, Blonsky. All right, you got to hang up. There, go away.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And we bring in the Coop Dalu.
There are reports surfacing that the Jaguars aren't ready to give up on Nick Foles. Apparently, they could opt to get rid of Doug Marrone instead. What do you think the odds are of this happening, Ben?
Well, first of all, listen, Tom Coughlin, for now, is the one calling the shots in Jacksonville, and he appears to be relatively slow to do anything, right? I mean, he's like he's taking a nap while the franchise is in smoldering mode there in Jacksonville. Nick Foles, I don't buy that he's going anywhere. I mean, the sucker in the room that got Nick Foles is Jacksonville. Can they find another sucker to take Nick Foles, right? Unless they're able to foist that terrible contract and all that guaranteed money on some other sucker, he is doomed to return to Jacksonville. He's a backup quarterback who had a nice little carpet ride in the playoffs with Philadelphia. He's a second-tier starting quarterback. Hell, he's a third-tier starting quarterback the way he's played. Secondly, like Doug Marrone deservedly is under scrutiny in Jacksonville, as he should. Listen, he deserves to be. The Jags are not only a team, they're a team that is just a meddling, middle-of-the-pack, nothing spectacular team. They've been all over the map. They've had some really good performances mixed in with some terrible performances. It's up to Shad Khan. Obviously, he's the one that calls the shots, the owner. He's the wild card here. I believe there's a chance that not only does Marrone go, but they blow the thing up, right? They blow the thing up, and Coughlin's gone. Some of those other executives that are below Coughlin, and they get blamed for Nick Foles. But I think the odds, I don't think that's likely to happen. I think they're about 35% chance. So I think there's more of a chance that Marrone is back, but we could see the blow-up thing from Jacksonville. All right, next!
Ben, the Seahawks or 49ers will likely finish the season at 13-3 or 12-4, and yet they will have to travel to either Philadelphia or Dallas to play a team that will be 8-8 or worse.
No, God forbid.
This is a problem the NBA has as well, but to a lesser extent since it's not single elimination. Do you think the NFL will ever revise the playoff seeding?
No, I don't. I don't think they're going to make any major changes. If anything, they're going to add more teams, which is going to make this more convoluted because that's what TV wants. The TV people want more playoff football because that's a guaranteed ratings win, playoff football in America. But A, the NFL has spent decades promoting, much like the NCAA promotes student-athlete and that dogma about student-athlete. Well, the NFL's like how important divisions are, right? The rivalries between the Cowboys and the Redskins and the Bears and the Packers and the Rams and 49ers and all the other rivalries. That's generations of equity into the divisional format. And the thing that's really amusing about this is that this divisional format only exists because of air travel not being that good. And the fact that in the early days of pro sports, people had to travel by trains and it was a big pain in the ass to go anywhere. It's actually outdated, right? It's kind of like saying I'd rather use a typewriter than a computer, but it continues because people are used to it and people don't like to change. And I'd make the one thing I would do, right, which is just window dressing. On wild card weekend, if the divisional winner has a worse record than the wild card team, right, I would make them the home team. That's a compromise. It's a small compromise, meaning that, for example, this year in the NFC, the 49ers instead of the Cowboys would be at home. But I don't think like there's a pit of vipers in Arlington waiting for the 49ers. I it doesn't matter where you play the Cowboys. You want to play the Cowboys. It's not like you go in there and there's a bunch of people with machetes who are going to chop down the 49ers in the crowd. No, there's a bunch of rich people wearing bucket hats and cowboy boots, and I think you'll be okay. All right, next.
Andy Reid spoke to the media this week, and he had high praise for his offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
Reid is confident that Bieniemy is ready to be a head coach, saying, I'd say hire him right now.
Yeah.
Ben, will Bieniemy be a head coach next season?
No. No, I don't believe so. What do you expect Andy Reid to say? Well, I think this guy's a bum. I don't think he knows what he's doing. I wouldn't hire him. God, I'm surprised I still have him on the payroll. This guy, offense, come on. But here's the thing. Does Patrick Mahomes come as a package deal? Much like with Josh McDaniels, right? That was the joke years ago. Well, I'll take Josh McDaniels if Tom Brady comes with Josh McDaniels. If Patrick Mahomes comes along with Eric Bieniemy, then he will get a head coaching job. It's a stone-cold, guaranteed lock. The stumbling block for Eric Bieniemy is that most believe Andy Reid is the genius behind the offense that he's run in Philadelphia and Kansas City, just like Belichick gets all the credit for the Patriots' defense in Foxborough, even though the guys like Matt Patricia and others have gotten jobs. They said, well, he's not really the one doing it. It's Belichick. And two, like Andy Reid has muddled his coaching tree. He's got Doug Peterson, who won a Super Bowl but's fallen on hard times. Matt Nagy, even though the Bears won last night, has been on the hot seat all year in Chicago. And Bieniemy is going to have to – he's going to have to wait in line. You got Ron Rivera and Mike McCarthy who are ahead of him on the coaching wish list. And so the way that Bieniemy can get a job is if the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, because then he becomes the hot name, the flavor of the month and all that stuff. Plus, he's going to work relatively cheap. And that helps him out, but I do not believe he will be a head coach next season. There it is, Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, you passed this edition.
That's a winner!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Knock, knock. Who's there? Lame week. Lame week who? It's Big Ben's lame joke of the week.
Same jokes of the week. We can't afford that S at the end. Brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. Let's get right to the jokes. Weed Man, are you there, Weed Man?
Yeah, Lisa has a joke. Why was Weed Man... Oh, God.
What?
He said Lisa had a joke, and then...
Then he faded out.
Started to
oh,
read
you there? I screwed up. Go on.
That's a drop. All right, here we go. Bounce the jokes off Eddie. Let's get through as many of these as we can. Why didn't Blind Scott realize he was in Twitter jail at first?
I don't know. How come he didn't realize
that? Twitter was keeping him in the dark about it. That's why. It's Eric in Iowa who sent that one in. What is the best evidence that Microsoft has a monopoly?
I don't know. Tell me.
Well, Fat Santa had to switch from chimneys to windows, Eddie. He had to go from Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. Why do people who stutter love USC football?
I do not know.
Because it's bad to the bone, Eddie. See, it's bad to the bone. It's Gordon in Tacoma sent that one in. This is a Cowboy in Windsor double shot. You ready?
No.
Who is Arizona Cardinals defensive back Josh Shaw's favorite old-time baseball player?
No idea.
Oscar Gamble. He likes Oscar Gamble.
That's good.
What is Josh Shaw's favorite movie, Eddie?
Don't know.
Casino Royale. He loves Casino Royale as well. And why doesn't Josh Shaw eat the post-game spread?
Why? I don't know why.
Because he didn't like the spread, Eddie. He didn't like the spread, so I screwed that up, Cowboy. That's a bad joke. I screwed up, Cowboy.
Gambling joke.
All right. What does a Who concert and a Bengals game have in common?
Who concert and a Bengals game?
Yeah.
What do they have in common?
Apparently, Cincinnati fans get crushed, according to Gordon. Gordon in Tacoma.
How long ago did that happen?
Yeah, well, you know, it's... For Gordon, it's still good. What do Pete Rose and Bartolo Colon have in common?
We haven't had a good Bartolo Colon. I don't know. What do they have in common?
One has a lifetime ban from the Baseball Hall of Fame. The other has a lifetime ban from any all-you-can-eat buffet. That's Eric.
Hey, why does Weed Man hang outside Kentucky Fried Chicken?
I don't know.
So when the women come out, he can lick their fingers.
We've now reached the point where Weed Man is goofing on himself.
Lisa came up with that?
Lisa's show.
That's pretty good, actually. That's funny. She's funny. All right. What must you do to see President Trump's point of view?
I don't know. What must you do?
Ukraine your neck, Eddie. You have to Ukraine your... Yeah. All right. That's Randy. Randy.
Ukraine. Ukraine.
All right. What do you have?
We get it.
All right. What do you have over there, Coop? What do you got?
What's the difference between a pickpocket and a peeping Tom?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, a pickpocket snatches watches.
Wow. All right. Did you hear what the Astros kids are getting for Christmas this year?
No, I did not.
Oh, that's great.
Whatever their fathers are able to steal from the Dodgers, that's what the kids are going to get. That's Gary from Youngstown, Ohio, sent that one in. Thank you for that, Gary. A lot of these guys, just wonderful joke writers.
My joke was from Graveyard C, by the way.
Got to give them plugs. They won't send the jokes in. Why was O.J. Simpson mad at his fantasy football team?
I don't know. Why was he mad?
He knew if his team didn't get better, he was going to have to make some cuts, Eddie. And,
he likes doing that. He'd be mad.
A long time ago. What do you get when you hear back-to-back calls from Steve in Manhattan and Weed Man Hippie?
Huh, I don't know. What do you get?
A reason to drive into oncoming traffic. Oh, yeah. Is that what you got? That's Imran. Why did the chicken cross the road with James Harden?
I don't know why.
Because wherever Harden goes, fouls will follow. You see how that... Imran, anything else over there? Koopaloop, what do you got?
What do you call Black Friday inside a gun shop?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. A back-to-school sale. That's from Kurt from Earth.
It's terrible. Oh, it's horrible. Blair from Maine says to never tell a clock a secret.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because time will tell, Eddie. Time always tells. Yeah. So Gary from South Carolina sent that one in. What is Coop's favorite part of the Christmas season?
I don't know.
All the green in the trees, Eddie. He loves that. That's from Eric.
And Iowa.
Yeah, all right.
Put up our fake tree today.
There you go. What do the Mallers Mountain of Money and Taco Bell have in common?
Good question. I don't know the answer.
They are both very confusing to a Mexican. I'm sorry, that was from Bill from Iowa sent that one in.
Who sent that one?
Bill from Iowa. This is another one. What do you have when you gather Devlin Hodges, Andrew, and Tom Brady?
I don't know.
A duck, a luck, and a suck is what you get. So Bill from Iowa. All right, I got a few Weed Man jokes here. What Disney movie was about Weed Man and Lisa?
Weed Man, you want to chime in on this?
Lisa, listen.
The movie was Lady and the Tramp. That was the movie. Yeah. That's Anthony in Anaheim. Where can you find people who look like Weed Man Hippie?
Tell me.
The back of Justin in Cincinnati's car. You can find that. There you go.
No, that is some guy back there.
All right. What was the name of Weed Man's toy store?
I don't know.
EBT Schwartz. Bill from Iowa. All right, here's the last one for now, the closer. Did you hear that Weed Man Hippie got a job as a mall Santa?
No.
Yeah, he was promptly fired. Good. He kept asking the kids for money. Fired! Get out of here!